Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of SNY.TV's Meet the Mets cast. They let us do this not once, not twice, but thrice in honor of Yoenis Cespedes, of course, with the 3 home runs yesterday. The massive game in Philadelphia for the Mets where they hit 7 home runs as a team. We'll touch on that a little bit, I'm sure, as our show goes on. I'm Rob Brender. Be joined in a moment by Steve Hofstetter and Matthew Cerrone. Coming up on our show, we're going to talk a little bit more about Lucas Duda and how Curtis Granderson is looking for ways over and over again to take pictures of him and film him. Some more stuff happened yesterday in Philadelphia. We'll get into that. We'll hit on Terry Collins and some one-liners from Terry. I think he's one of the funniest guys when it comes to managers and just kind of witty humor, especially when he's talking to the media before and after games. So we'll hit on some Terry one-liners today. Lenny Dykstra, we hit on him last week's show. We're going to follow up with that with a little game, a little fun game, where we see if Matt and Steve can figure out if Lenny's talking or is it actually a rap lyric from a song that you've heard over the last 20 or 30 years. So we'll do that. And then we'll talk about Jay Bruce a little bit, because Jay Bruce, for as great as Yoenis Cespedes was yesterday, Jay Bruce overall has just been fantastic the first week and a half of the season. So want to get everybody's feeling on, would you trade Jay Bruce now? Something maybe to think about before we hit on that topic. Before we get going, a quick programming note. This show will be available as part of the SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. So search SNY Mets. Again, that's SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And definitely subscribe to the feed if you haven't already. Rate us and drop us a review. And Matt has one additional note before we get started. Matt?
Yeah. Well, I've been dragging my feet, and I should have already at this point started recording the Q&A cast, which was the interview podcast I did last year, kind of tweaking it a little bit to kind of have different voices on and make it a little bit more in the moment. So, like, if you're listening to this and you're wondering why we don't spend as much time talking specifically about baseball on field, because it's supposed to be in that show, and, you know, blame me. I'll get it together, and hopefully we'll get those back rolling in this RSS feed very soon.
Excellent. So, yes, we do talk baseball on the field as well as some of the stuff that goes on off the field. And I think hopefully people are enjoying kind of a different take on podcasts and having different options. That's what we're trying to give you. So we're looking forward to hearing that from Matt. All right, guys, a quick follow up to the We Follow Lucas Duda account that Curtis Granderson has been running on Instagram. We hit on this last week. I think we were all in favor of what Grandy is doing and really appreciated the fact that he's been trying his best to make some new posts to put up on this feed. And so yesterday, I mentioned that the great game, obviously, the Mets had as a team, 7 home runs, and Yoenis Cespedes winds up hitting 3 bombs, so he gets most of the attention. But Lucas Duda had a tremendous game as well. He has 4 hits. He has 2 home runs, including one monster shot that went halfway to Delaware, cleared the batter's eye in dead center field. It's the first ball I think I've ever seen hit out that far in that ballpark. So after those home runs, Grandy picks up one of the iPads that they have in the dugout and either mocking Duda a little bit because of this account, knowing how much Duda hates it, tries to act like he's filming him or taking pictures of him, or maybe he actually was trying to take some pictures of him to post on the account. But either way, Duda sees it and pulls the iPad away from him a couple of times and fakes like he's smashing it. Steve, we'll start with you. At least an A for effort from Curtis Granderson to continue trying to follow up with this account.
I disagree, because I don't know if you saw that iPad. It looked like a big screen TV. That was the least was subtle. That thing was enormous. Like, if you want to find a creative way to get Duda, put a spy cam on. There's a billion ways you can video him. And, you know, not with something that looks like my flat screen.
Matt, not, I know you wanted more, right? So Grandy's trying to give you more.
Yeah, the funny thing is, that is not...
give me more.
Maybe he listens to the podcast. You know, it's funny. It's not the first time that's happened. There's a lot of you know, screen captures and different things that, like, you'll see on Instagram of Granderson with that briefcase size iPad taking, you know, all kinds of stuff in the dugout of Duda. But they never seem to get onto the We Follow Lucas Duda Instagram feed. So, like, I don't understand what's going on. That all last season, I would say, like, once every couple weeks, you would see him in the dugout taking pictures of him or something, and nothing ever happened. So, like, it's frustrating. It's there. The content's there.
It goes back to what Grandy told me on opening day, which was that, you know, you can't get anything if Duda like sees you recording, then he's just gonna start cursing a bunch.
Or grabs the iPad and tries to break it.
Right. Excellent. So my take is have him not see you recording by recording with something smaller than the tarp that they put on during a rain delay.
Yeah. Not to ruin the flow, but I think baseball is a little particular about that kind of stuff in the dugout. So I wonder if you can't have a phone, there's certain things you can't have in there. So I wonder if they go for the most ridiculous, the largest iPad Pro or whatever the hell it is, so that, because you are allowed to have an iPad in the dugout because they have those they have information and data on them. So I don't know. I'm just guessing because I like your idea. Like, why not? Like, just they have the cameras on the side. Like, SMY has the camera right there. Like, get some screen grabs.
Well, also, there's locker room stuff. There's behind the scenes stuff. He can just have a little spy cam headband or something. We can get like a police body cam. However we have to do it, we need good content.
Well, you can't break the iPad. That's the most important thing. Like, don't break the source.
Well, if you do, you're probably going to be able to afford a new one. So,
true.
don't have a rookie break it.
Good point.
All right. So from Curtis Granderson trying to have more and more fun with Lucas Duda. And by the way, Matt, I'm with you. I don't think that they're allowed to have phones or iPads in the dugout. So I think maybe he's just sort of mocking Duda at this point or faking that he's going to take pictures so that later on when he actually does it, maybe Duda's, makes it less obvious or something. I don't know. Either way, from Curtis Granderson, let's move on to Terry Collins. So from one funny guy maybe to another. I don't know if they're really funny, but at least they're acting like it. Terry, to me, again, sort of a dry sense of humor. And when he's around reporters, when they gather either before or after games, he drops jokes here and then. And I think some of them are hilarious, even if they're dry. And we had a few of them already within the first week and a half or so of the season. And so we want to play a few of these for you folks. If you haven't heard them, whether you were listening to the post-game shows or not, or pre-game shows. So this is a chance maybe to get caught up on how funny Terry has been so far. He's maybe working on his stand-up routine to replace Steve. So the first one we want to get to is with Noah Syndergaard's blister at the beginning of the season, right after that first start. And the reporters after the game were talking to Terry about that blister.
Terry, at what point did Noah start to complain about that blister? Was it just in that sixth inning, after that sixth inning?
When he came off the field.
And which finger is it?
I can't. I'm not allowed to tell you. This is a family-operated show.
See, now that's dry and witty, Steve, right? Steve, I need to get your ratings on these because this is all comedy.
I like it a lot. I think it's great. And I think that the reason he gets so many laughs is also because they're unexpected and he's disarming people. Those press conferences can be so dry and so boring. And so many of the other managers are just, just such milquetoast. And so for him to go up there and have a line here and there, and because it's dry and it's not a wacky, like, laugh here, please, it's just a funny line. And I think that's why it gets so many laughs.
Matt, is SMY really a family show? I don't know if that's true.
It depends on the time of year and the losing streak. But it almost seems like Gelb set him up a little bit. Like, it seemed like he teed him up a little bit. Like, because he was like, and what finger is it on? Like, as if, jump in here, totally, Terry, anytime.
You know they work together. They do. They get together, and he says, Steve, I need you to hit me up with this one, and then I'm going to go.
I wouldn't go that 100%. Far, but yeah.
So you think that it's like an Abbott and Costello thing?
No. In that moment. But I think Gelbs is, he knows there's humor in there.
And so, by the way, guys, this bears pointing out, since we were talking about Noah with the finger issue. Noah, as we know, has had his issue with Mr. Met. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but before, I don't remember which game it was, either yesterday or the day before in Philadelphia, he grabs the Philly Fanatic's ATV and steals it from him. The Philly Fanatic falls on his face, and Noah takes off in the outfield with the ATV and rides around for a little while. I don't know if he just hates all mascots at this point. I initially thought it was just Mr. Met, but now I'm starting to change my tune. I think it's just Noah hates mascots. What do you think, Steve?
Do you think he's got like a fear of wool, perhaps?
Maybe it's the smell, no. Matt. Matt, have you ever been next to one of these things? It could be the smell.
I think, first of all, who doesn't hate the Philly? I mean, I don't like the Philly Fanatic. I shouldn't say who. I don't like him. I think he's a jerk. I don't like his bit. He's the worst mascot. So, that's fine by me. The Mr. Met stuff we talked about last week, it's, you know, flipping off Mr. Met. Come on.
Well, really? And also there's been a long tradition of people stealing the ATV. Like, yes, it's not the first time. That's one of the Philly Fanatics bits. I actually don't have a problem with them at all. I don't know why Matt is such an old curmudgeon.
I don't know.
I think it's fun. Like, the mascot stuff is fun. And, you know, whether it is the Philly Fanatic or, you know, or Orbit in Houston or, you know, whoever it is, it's silly. It's fun. It's for the kids. And they enjoy it. And it's great. And if he's going to steal the ATV during warmups, I mean, what is that really? What's the problem with that? It's what else is going on there? You're watching two people long toss. It's okay.
One of the things that got underreported in that moment, though, was if you go back and watch the full video, Granderson is like Granderson distracts him. You know, Granderson's like, "Hey, we're doing this like workout thing," and they're being silly, and then that's when like Syndergaard jumps on the thing and takes off. It's great.
We learned that Matt hates the Philly Fanatic. I actually like the Philly Fanatic. Oh, Steve, it sounds like you like the Philly Fanatic, so we're two against one here. Okay, so that was the first Terry take of the day, and of course it brings us right to Noah Syndergaard. Doesn't everything bring us right to Noah Syndergaard? There's been one other big story, at least there was the first few days of the season, in that the Mets leadoff hitter, Jose Reyes, has disappeared. The guy wasn't doing anything at the plate, and Terry had a comment about that as well.
I'm too busy. I got the FBI out looking for the real Jose Reyes right now. So, he's being kidnapped. He's being held someplace. I know that.
See, well, that one got major laughs because I don't think people were expecting like Terry to come out that harsh.
Yeah.
Like that was pretty savage coming from a manager. I thought that was great.
It was. It was very Bill Parcells. I dig it. And what I think was also cool was that they didn't ask him about Reyes. They were asking about Cabrera getting thrown at and all that stuff. And then he just, you know, interjected with it, you know, which makes it even more harsh because, like, it's not like he was prompted. The good thing, though, is, like, Jose, you know, has a good sense of humor. I'm sure he knows he's struggling. I'm sure the guys are giving him a hard time about it. I know David Wright was really, you know, giving him, you know, razzing him a lot when they were at Citi Field about his struggles and, you know, when you're going to get a hit. So, like, you know, it's a thing. And Jose's got a good sense of humor. So, like, you know, it probably just kind of lightened the mood a little bit and kind of made it fun. But good for Terry. I like it. Like you said, it reminds me of Parcells. Like, he used to do that kind of stuff all the time. Like, he would just go into those press conferences and just throw all kinds of people under the bus. You know, I like it.
And I should mention, by the way, that Reyes did have one hit in the game last night. He was 1-for-6. So I don't think that's great. Certainly not in a game when your team has 20 hits. But maybe, just maybe, that one hit gets him going a little bit.
Hey,
the Mets need Jose Reyes.
1-for-6 raised his average.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to hit 0-50 all season. So, like, obviously, you know, he's going to get it together. But, man, rough start.
Is there reason to be worried, you think, Matt, at all?
Nah. No, because, I mean, I mean, he's not an 0-50 hitter. I mean, at the very least, you know, if he hits 240, you know, it's disappointing. But, I mean, from this point forward, that would be a massive improvement. So, like, he's going to have a hot streak somewhere. Like, it's going to click.
Yeah, they need Jose Reyes badly. This team has no speed whatsoever. He's their one speed guy. Plus, they want him at third base. I think he did an admirable job there last year, even though he's not a natural third baseman. So they need his contributions there. All right. So
he's exhibited a ton of speed. You know how fast he's been getting back to the dugout after he gets out?
There you go. He's going to hate you for that joke. So Yoenis Cespedes was the story yesterday. He was amazing. 3 home runs. Yeah, he hit. Was it all 3 against Clay Buchholz? I think it was 2 out of the 3 against Clay Buchholz because Buchholz left with the forearm issue, right? But either way, he was just awesome.
Is Buchholz missing a forearm? Does that explain his performance?
Well, the forearm he has doesn't seem to work all that well. That may be the reason that Boston said goodbye for almost nothing, and I think the Phillies might do that sometime soon too because he's just terrible. And Yoenis Cespedes is not terrible. So here is Terry before the game talking about the way that Yoenis Cespedes looked in batting practice.
I don't know if you guys watched batting practice today, but, you know, it looked like a driving range out there the way he was hitting balls.
So there you go. Actually, that was after the game. Excuse me, not before the game. So he was talking about the way that Cespedes looked in BP, kind of comparing it to the way he looked in the game. Matt, I was as impressed with that performance. And not just the three home runs, the line drive double that he hit over Odubel Herrera's head in center field was absolutely crushed. It's the hardest hit ball the Mets have had at all this year, as a matter of fact. It surpassed the Noah Syndergaard ground out from his first start. So just the overall performance, where does that stack in your mind as far as individual performances you've seen from Mets hitters?
Oh, it was, I mean, he's like, you know, he was Herculean. I mean, he's, I love when Cespedes, I said this the other way, I like when Cespedes is just, you know, larger than the game and a bit of a badass. And like, I, you know, that's what I want to see him do. And I don't really think it's actually his personality. He's a pretty, you know, subdued, sensitive kind of guy, but like, you know, on the field, like, you know, with the 52, you know, chain and like, I just want to see him kind of be, you know, a little, not cocky, but I like when he's clearly the best player on the field. It just makes everything feel right with the team and, you know, three home runs and if he can get, cause look, he got off to a pretty rough start too. So like if he can get clicking and then Reyes, like we talked about, gets in the mix, like they're going to fire on all cylinders. Like they did at the end of last year with Reyes, you know, Cabrera and Cespedes. It's huge.
Yeah. Steve, I agree with Matt on this. He brings some swag to this team. And he's not the only one, as Matt just said, with Cabrera and with Reyes, you get a little bit of that as well. But I love that. You know, it gives them sort of an edge, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. And it so I post a lot on our New York Mets on Reddit. And one of the threads that I was on a couple days ago was about someone was complaining that that the Mets just don't have contact hitters, and that's why they're losing. Because, of course, you know, you lose two games in a row, everybody panics. And my take was, like, this isn't what it's going to be. Unless you believe Cespedes is a 150 hitter, unless you believe Walker is a 150 hitter, unless you believe that Reyes doesn't exist as a person, like, then clearly things are going to get going. And things have really started to get going in the last couple of days. You know, for a while, like, everybody says, like, oh, if the Mets pitchers fire on all cylinders, they're going to be unstoppable. What about the hitting? Like, if that can all go really well, holy crap, this team's a good team.
I mean, I forgot no Neil Walker's even on the team. Like, you know, like, where's Neil Walker? You know, like, it's amazing.
He hasn't showed up yet, but he'll get there.
Right. You know, it's 100%. Like, again, if they start, you know, if they can string it together. And look, it's no secret. Like, you just look at the numbers, it's pretty obvious. And I know this kind of goes for most teams, but it's particularly underscored for the Mets. When they hit home runs, they win. Like, it's literally that simple. And so, you know, if they're going to put some power together and have to hit 14, you know, score 14 runs and hit seven home runs every night, that'd be awesome. But they don't have to do that. But, like, you know, just any sort of, you know, clickery and they're going to do fine. Like, it's not rocket science here.
Yep, no question. All right, so from the current bombing Mets, I don't want to call them bombing. That sounds too much like the Yankees. Sorry. So from the current hot-hitting Mets. It does. I know. It didn't sound great at all. My bad.
Yeah, in my profession, bombing is a bad thing.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right. But from that to the 80s Mets, and I don't know if you guys remember, on our show last week, we were talking a little bit about how some of the Mets of the past, you almost wish they didn't get involved in social media because occasionally they sort of let you in on who they really are and what they really think. And so that kind of turns you off to them. And somehow, some way, Lenny Dykstra's name came up. Can't imagine how or why. But Lenny has obviously been in the media over the last, what, decade or so for doing stupid things off the field, getting himself arrested multiple times. And he's one of those guys now on social media who's become much more active, and he says things, whether he's typing them on social media or he's actually in the media, you know, putting out a video or he's being interviewed, where he says things that sound like rap lyrics. And it struck us, and mostly our production team, that they think that he sounds just like a rapper when he says certain things and when he's quoted or when he's writing things online. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to have you guys try to figure out, I'm going to read a line, and I want you guys to tell me whether or not this is Lenny Dykstra talking or if this is a rap lyric from a song. And you get bonus points, by the way, if you can tell me the exact rap lyric and what song it's from and who said it. Okay? You guys ready for this?
Oh, I have been born ready for this.
Okay, I can tell. All right. Matt, you ready? You sound ready.
Yeah, I'm all good, Rob. Let's roll.
All right, here we go.
I can't wait to hear this.
All right, so I'm just going to read this straightforward. I am not going to try to wrap it because that would be awful. All right, Steve, we'll start with you. All right, let me read this thing all the way through. It's going to sound great. It's 15 dimes a pop with these Beverly Hills Widows. It's kind of hard to say no. Is that Lenny Dykstra or a rapper?
Well, it's either Lenny Dykstra or someone from the cast of the Beverly Hills Housewives. So I will say that's a Lenny Dykstra quote.
Excellent, Steve. I'm actually very impressed by that. That was Lenny Dykstra, and I would have guessed the other way. All right, Matt, your turn. Here we go. I'd rather die enormous than live dormant.
I'm pretty sure that's a rap lyric. I want to say it's Jay-Z, but I might be wrong.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you
right?
Got
look
the
at this.
Bonus hey, point. Now. That is fantastic. It is a rap lyric, Jay-Z, from the song Can I Live? Well
wow.
done.
Okay.
Well done. All right.
Nice.
Steve, back to you.
The song Can I Live, if that were written by Lenny Dykstra, the answer would be not
no.
well.
No.
Right. Not, no, well, not well at all right now. Okay. At one point, he was, though. All right, here we go, Steve. I play my enemies like a game of chess. Is that Lenny Dykstra or a rapper?
I know that one.
That is way too poetic for Dykstra. I play my enemies like a game of chess. Isn't that Fugees? That's
yes.
Ready or
oh,
Not, right?
Oh, my yes. goodness. Well done. Yes. You guys are on top of your rap game. A bonus
well, look,
point there
I grew
for
up in,
you, Steve.
I grew up in Queens in the 80s and 90s. Like, this is my game.
That it is, obviously.
Trouble Connecticut, and I know all the words.
We haven't had a Beastie Boys lyric yet. All right, so 3 for 3. Wow, out of the guys. Boy. This is impressive.
Oh,
okay.
Pressure's on right. now. Okay.
Yeah, it is. All right, Matt, you're up. I see stories that I couldn't make up if I dreamed, but that doesn't matter. What matters is all those people, they'll be shining my shoes.
This is definitely Lenny. This has got to be Lenny.
Wow. Unbelievable 4 for 4. I thought that we would actually fool you guys with some of this, but
this sounds rigged. I mean, honestly, that's fine. Well, that sounds like Lenny.
Yeah, like sound. You get it. I think also you got to choose less like familiar rap lyrics. Like you're going Fugees and Jay-Z, you know, give me something a little deeper.
I know. And hey, so with that,
you know,
with that said,
you could have done go ahead.
Well, with that said, Steve, I will be very disappointed in you if you don't get this one correct, all right?
Okay.
So here we go. There's more to me than you'll ever know, and I've got more hits than Sadahara O.
Oh, come on. that's definitely not Lenny.
No, it's not Lenny. Okay, you got that part right, but who is it? Any idea?
Come on. I mean, that's Beastie. Like
that is Beastie.
Isn't that that's Hey Ladies, right?
Hey Lady. Yeah, of course it's Hey
yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah. That's there's no way Lenny does not make a Sadahara O reference.
No.
No.
Also,
no
by the way, next time we play these games, don't make the rap ones rhyme.
Oh, my fault. Is that
kind of a dead giveaway?
My fault.
Well, here's
totally.
The thing. You know, we could have done Lenny's rap from Get Mesmerized, a god awful song from 86, and then it would have been both. Just saying.
That's a neat trick question.
All right, here we go. Matt, you're up for the next one. The plan was to drink until the pain over, but what's worse, the pain or the hangover?
I'm going to say, oh boy, this is a flip a coin.
You can
Although
do it.
It sounds familiar. I have a feeling it's a rap lyric because I know that I feel like I've heard this before, but I'm just going to go with Lenny and hope that I'm wrong because somebody's got to be wrong. So I'm just going to go with Lenny Dykstra on this
one. All right. Well, congratulations. You're wrong. You are
can
wrong.
Can I interject?
Okay.
I believe
yes.
That's Kanye.
Oh, that is Kanye. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Stark Fantasy is this. All right. Just one more. One more. One last one and we'll get off this. I have $30 worth of homes. That could really go both ways, Steve.
Really?
I have $30 worth of homes. You're up.
Oh, boy.
$30 worth of homes. I mean, that's got to be Lenny, right?
That is well done. Yes, that is Lenny. We'll go one more so we can balance this out because, Matt, we don't want you to
well,
win.
Well, I did already win. Matt would have to get this right and then get the last one that he didn't get right also.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so ready, Matt? Here we go. I'm not here to make money. I'm here to make history.
I mean, that sounds like Lenny also, but I'm going to go with Lenny Dykstra.
Yes, that is Lenny Dykstra. Oh, very okay. Well done, gentlemen. You did well. Steve won, though, because he went undefeated. He got them all right. So congratulations, Steve. You know you're Lenny Dykstra better than Matt knows rap lyrics.
I think I know my rap lyrics more than I know Lenny Dykstra.
So. That's absolutely right. Yes. Congratulations, Steve. Okay.
Anything that sounded like poetry, I knew wasn't him.
Real quick on Lenny, by the way. Mike, have you seen these videos that he's doing? Where it's a little bit of like post game analysis that he's posted on social. It's pretty rough. It's like they're like hostage videos. It's not.
Fortunately,
not a pretty thing.
I missed that. Yeah, I don't follow Lenny. I really should start following him. Okay, so from Lenny Dykstra, a guy who hit from the left side and could occasionally hit some bombs, to a guy who has been hitting from the left side as well and crushing bombs most of his career, and doing it at a pretty good pace already to start this season, Jay Bruce. So we've talked a lot about Jay Bruce in our first episode, where we were just thinking, well, what do the Mets do? You know, they obviously tried to trade him during the offseason. They weren't able to. They keep him around, and guess what? He's off to a red-hot start. Right now, Steve, we'll start with you. Would you trade Jay Bruce today if the offer coming back was fair? And we, I don't care what that offer is, just a fair return in your eyes. Would you trade him today?
Well, let me say this. I was the one who said that Jay Bruce is going to come back this season, have a great season, and I also just won the Lenny game. So this is the episode where I gloat a lot. But that said, yes, I would trade Jay Bruce right now for a catcher or a third baseman. Anything else, I would not trade him. But as good as he is doing right now, and as much as, you know, we could use that right now, the drop-off from him to the next several outfielders is not very far. So I'd say trade him, get your money's worth, and get a catcher.
Okay. 100%. Yeah, no. I would give the exact answer. I would include a, how was Sandy wording this? You know, an experienced, you know, veteran, high leverage kind of reliever, somebody that they can, you know, put in there when Familia comes back. They'll have a pretty good three-headed monster back there. I would do that today. But look, Conforto's hitting and everybody knows he should be playing. So like it solves that problem. Yes. No doubt about it. I'd regret it if he keeps hitting, but like, I still think he's just a one dimensional player. Like he's just going to hit home runs, which is great. And that's what he's doing. But there's other needs here. I'm with Steve.
All right. I agree with you guys that there are other needs. However, I'm not 100% convinced that removing Bruce from the lineup is the best idea because a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm not 100% sold that Conforto is ready to step in and mash. I hope he is. I think he could be. But I'm not 100% sold yet just because I haven't seen it. So I want Bruce there to back up Yoenis Cespedes, to hit behind Cespedes. I like that 3-4 combination. And yes, they do have other needs. So yeah, if you could find a catcher, but what catcher are you going to find? I mean, Texas at this point isn't trading Jonathan Lucroy, so what other catcher is going to be out there? So I just don't know that you're going to get the player back that you would want. So the quote-unquote fair return for me, I just don't know if it's out there because I think Bruce balances the lineup really well right now. And even the relievers that you might want later on probably aren't going to be available yet. So I'm going to say no, I wouldn't trade him right now. I would wait till sometime around the deadline.
And then when he goes and hits 160 in June, we'll
yeah, that's
rough. This question.
No, absolutely. 110%. Okay. No, that's fair. Completely fair. All right. So that does it for this week's show. Once again, it was fantastic and a lot of fun. Folks, you can find us on the SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. Search SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. Steve, any shows coming up this week? Are you still on the road?
I am still on the road, and you can check out my tour dates at stevehofstetter.com. But more importantly, I thought it was a lot of fun when they plugged us during the Mets broadcast. You guys did not give me the heads up on that, and that was just a fun thing to see.
Cool. That was awesome. I caught that. Matt, if you were responsible in any way, thank you. Anything big coming up? I know you have the Q&A cast that you're going to get going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. Jeff, who's producing the show, is, I think, getting antsy with my lack of progress. So I will get that rolling. I basically just want to kind of do a little bit more like we're, you know, in more granular on field chit chat in the moment kind of stuff, maybe do a couple a week, I think even. So, sooner than later. And then obviously just, you know, keep reading Mets blog.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, guys, for Steve and Matt. I am Rob. Hopefully next week when we do episode 4, it's because Yoenis Cespedes hit 4 home runs that week and we can honor him for 4 home runs in a game again, or for the first time, because this was great, honoring him for 3, right? All right. We'll see you next week.